The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And what a weekend. And then there were sports. Good afternoon. Welcome to Monday, the end of the month, and a lot to talk about. We have a Final Four in the men. The women are still trying to determine that, but one team that has made it already is South Carolina, and Dawn Staley and the women of Columbia knocked off Creighton yesterday in convincing fashion and move on to the Final Four again. South Carolina won it a couple of years ago, have been there many other times. And the men, how about this? Can you get any bluer than North Carolina, Duke, Villanova, and Kansas? I mean, all you really need is UCLA and Kentucky, and you have the elite of all time in college basketball. It is going to be pretty exciting as the men's Final Four heads to New Orleans, minus Arkansas, who valiantly took on Duke on Saturday night, but fell short. But two elite eights in a row for Coach Muss. Pretty impressive, to say the least. So that's where we are here on a Monday afternoon. Are they giving out more money in college football? Count me in. Michael Smith writing about some new conferences making a college cash call. We'll talk to Mike in about an hour. And just when you thought you had heard the end of Johnny Manziel, he wants to return to Aggieland.
Okay.
To do what?
I don't know.
Oh, he wants a coach. Read anything you want into my silence. And how about this? You got Miami, Mississippi State, Nebraska. Who will be the biggest surprise coming up next year? Heather Dinitz joins us in about 2 hours and 15 minutes. You'll also get the aforementioned Mike Smith. Bruce Feldman starts it off here in a few minutes as well. But a lot to digest, and I'm not talking only about the Oscars. do you see that?
Turned into a SmackDown.
I don't know. The best smacker is Will Smith. Let's get to the calls. start with Shewan, Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Hello, Paul. I finally healed up my wounds after the opening day of the tournament. I lost my Final Four, two of my picks the first day, Kentucky and Iowa. Somehow or other, they never got the message that defense travels, neither team.
No.
And I was pulling for Arkansas to win their bracket. Didn't quite make it. But the truth is, we're going to have a hell of a tournament in New Orleans. And because of my children graduating from UNC, I'm in the tank for them big time. I think a couple of things are real important. Charles Barkley made a very interesting comment at halftime of the UNC game yesterday, and I think it merits being repeated. He said that when Carolina discovered that they were 13 points better than Duke about 2.5 weeks ago, that opened up a window of confidence for them that they've played with ever since. And truthfully, Carolina knows that they're a better team than Duke, and Duke knows it too. But however it turns out will be fun to watch. It's a shame about the Villanova kids, I've got a feeling that the winner of Duke, North Carolina is going to be our national champion. Now, one other comment. Nolan Richardson was a great basketball coach at Arkansas, no question about it. And he understands intuitively the importance of giving kids a rail to run on so they don't have to reinvent their game every time they go out and play. He was exactly right. What he said about putting in place early what you do throughout the season and tinkering with it, but never being in a position where you have to make major alterations down the stretch. And, Paul, one last comment that's relevant about Kentucky, I think. For the first time ever, an official administration spokesman in the person of their athletic director came out on a network radio show and openly said the Kentucky fan base deserved a better effort than they've had in the last 7 years in terms of being in quest of a national championship. I have to tell you, John Calipari will never be fired. But you also have to come to grips with the fact that in 5 years, from 2011 to 2015, he made four Final Fours and won a championship. But ever since the embarrassing loss he had in 2015, with the best talent ever put on the floor by a Kentucky basketball team, they lost that to Wisconsin with poor coaching decisions. The best kids in the country no longer really want to play for Calipari at Kentucky, and he's not been in a Final Four in the last 7 years. Not to say he's not a great recruiter. He is. He could sell snake oil to anybody. But as far as coaches as X's and O's, he's a long way from what Kentucky needs to be a championship contender. With that, I'll hang up the phone, Paul.
Thank you. Have you ever seen snake oil?
Never seen.
I mean, I always hear that line about snake oil salesmen. I mean, can you go anywhere and buy snake oil? That's all I want to know. I don't want to know anything else. John is up next in Louisville.
Hello, Paul. God, he sucks the air out of our callers. If I ever want someone to do my filibuster, it's him.
I think Hugh was a former senator.
has to be. He does an excellent job. Welcome
Mr.
back.
Mr. Chairman.
One more thing. Hey, last week it felt like it was the Legend Show featuring Paul Feinbaum, so welcome back.
I've always said this. I'm like a hood ornament. I'm really only necessary because they tell me I need to be here. Other than that, the show goes on with or without me.
So at the end of the tournament, what's your encore for this week for the show?
Yeah, we're still struggling with that because last week it was so exciting with the caller bracket, and it ended brilliantly. I don't know. We're going to let today marinate a little bit, John. It's Monday, and a lot of people are not really geared up for high-pressure snake oil sales people. But we will come up with a new gimmick tomorrow to keep you tuned in here.
Well, I have an award to propose. It would be for the worst loser or the biggest spoiled sport, and I'm willing to donate my authentic Major League bat signed by Ted Williams, and then every caller can place a name today.
Yeah, something tells me you know where you are. I don't think that would be a mystery.
Anyways,
I
know, Paul, I know.
A clue. We know who you're talking
about.
I
know you're not an expert or an analyst, and I don't want you to be called out later this week by Loudmouth, but can you give us your final two for both the men's and women's championships?
I think in the men's it will be Duke versus Kansas, despite what our Senator Cleghorn just gave.
Foghorn,
whatever his name is. The women, I would like to see who gets in there. I think this game tonight between UConn and NC State's important.
Plus Michigan against Louisville.
UConn and who's playing tonight?
Michigan against Louisville, and then I think it's UConn against
Louisville.
Don't have
I like Louisville in that game, and then I think I like NC State over UConn. But we'll take a break. We'll talk to Bruce Feldman in a minute as I deal with the late March pollen. We're coming right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back, and it's always great to welcome to the show Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox. Bruce, good afternoon. I know you're I don't know if you're in Los Angeles today. I would have, you would think around the country people are talking Final Four, but something tells me in L.A. The only battle that anyone is talking about was the one last night at the Oscars. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, I think that kind of took over everything. It's crazy because just a couple of days ago, UCLA was in the middle of the tournament and then ended up losing to North Carolina, who's obviously now going to the Final Four. But yeah, I mean, that was like the flat bird around the world.
Yeah, no, and the sports connection is that Will Smith was there last night winning a Best Actor Award based on playing the father of two of the most famous tennis stars of all time. But that's not what they're talking about. They were talking about his Ali imitation. But let me get on to college football. And speaking of basketball in relation to college football, I was thinking, Bruce, and you've seen a lot, if there has ever been anything quite like what we're watching with Coach K, and I know Tom Osborne retired after winning a couple of titles, but I don't remember him announcing it beforehand. Do you? Or do you have anything that's related to this?
No, not to this degree, Paul, just because I think we're talking about it's 2022, so we're in a different social media age where everything seems to be heightened. I think you also had, a month ago where they played North Carolina and it was a celebrated game. They lose, and yet here they are again. We're going to see this game this weekend, albeit it's a 2-8 seed, but it's still North Carolina and Duke. And so I think there's a lot of, there's so much familiarity with those two brands, but certainly with Coach K, you can make a strong argument that he and John Wooden are the two best basketball coaches in the history of the sport, especially for the last, whatever it is, five decades that he's done it. So I think because of that, to me, it's a lot different, this sport, because, you have a lot of one and dones. There's less familiarity with the players because the players come and go usually on the top teams, whereas the head coaches are the stars, and we certainly have that with Duke.
Talking to Bruce, I know you're spending a lot of time in the spring, watching camps, watching player evaluations. As we inch toward a lot of these spring games, which will start happening with great regularity, what has impressed you as you've done stories and reporting around the country this spring?
Well, just out here, Lincoln Riley and USC started camp last week, and you obviously have Caleb Williams. It was such a big name transfer because of he had some really special moments last year, and I think because the hype is so big around can Lincoln Riley turn what had really been a mess of a program, and USC was so bad last year, 4-8. And it's like, okay, because of the transfer portal, and Lincoln just said the other day, he's looking at adding double-digit more players. So I think because of the transfer portal, never mind just the NIL element of how the sport has changed because of that, but the transfer portal, I think, makes a lot of people look at it and go, okay, how quickly can a reset happen? Is it crazy to think this team, this team that was so bad last year, could actually jump in and be a playoff contender? The Pac-12 is down, so I think that, to me, is a big headliner. Never mind, you have a lot of other high-profile programs. Certainly in the SEC, you have Brian Kelly taking over at LSU. They got started. There's just a lot of intriguing makeovers that are going on right now.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Bruce, beyond that, you mentioned NIL, and I know it's a big picture item or big ticket item around the country, but is there anywhere that you go or is there anybody that you talk to that isn't mentioning not only NIL, but the issues in the portal of dealing with agents of players and representing their NIL interests? Where are we in this country on this important subject right now?
I think there's a lot of confusion, Paul, because it is the wild, wild west in this regard, where I think there's so much uncertainty about what is getting paid, who is on the front end of doing these deals. Are they going to hold up? Meaning, are a lot of players and their families doing partnerships and getting money where on the front end it sounds great, but what are they signing over? And then I think there's some other nuance to it, where when you have all these collectives, and The Athletic has done a bunch of really in-depth stories about these collectives working on behalf of these major college football programs. And so, you know, there's definitely some things where it's like, okay, is this player who's going to get X amount of dollars? And, you know, we did a big story at The Athletic of a player who's could get up to $8 million, hasn't played a down in college football. You know, how are these things going to actually play out when they do? Because we've seen plenty of examples of five-star guys who didn't end up having the careers you would have expected from what they were projected. And so I think it's very interesting to see how this is going to play out, how coaches are going to manage it, especially when maybe there's going to be different interests from a collective compared to maybe what a coaching staff has in terms of some of these deals. And, you know, I think there's certainly a lot of stuff behind the scenes where you're talking about, you know, tampering, I think, has been around long before the transfer portal and NIL. But I think you're going to see so much, you're going to probably hear rumors of a lot more of it now, where somebody's in the portal, but they're already kind of a done deal someplace else because maybe there was somebody working back channel, either through a high school coach or family member and those kind of things. And I think that dynamic has definitely escalated in the last, you know, 6 months.
Bruce, I've spoken to not nearly as many coaches as you have, but two recently, head coaches, and they both pointed toward Texas A&M, and not so much to the degree of Lane Kiffin, but they made pretty sharp and pointed remarks in terms of what Jimbo Fisher has been doing. Again, no one has accused him of doing things illegal. It's just maybe A&M got out ahead of everyone else. What is your assessment of Jimbo Fisher and his program and the heat that he is taking right now?
Well, look, I think when you have what is the highest ranked recruiting class, like in basically the modern recruiting era, which, you know, can span 247 in their database, I think when that happens, and not just when it happens, like let's say if it was Georgia or Alabama, where programs have had extreme amounts of on-field success, whereas A&M hasn't had that. You know, they've been pretty good, but they've, you know, it's been a long time since they've had anything close to a great team. So I think that has probably heightened, you know, a lot of innuendo and a lot of speculation, especially in the NIL era of, all right, if we think this is going on here, because I think what you have with a lot of coaches is they know to some degree what certain players and families may be getting offered. And so if it's a case where, you know, this player doesn't end up going to school X, even though he was offered this much, I think they make some assumptions, fair or unfair, that some of these other deals are getting done. I mean, it's, I hate to say it just like this, but it's like, look, Jimbo Fisher's made some impassioned statements at the podium, you know, in terms of that. And I don't think he's wrong to say A&M does have a lot to offer when it comes to a college perspective, college football player, beyond just, you know, what people are going to say is NIL money, I think, in terms of opportunity and some of those other things. But I think that's where it goes, because, you know, you can go back years ago to any time there's a school that has maybe wins recruiting battles against some school that you don't think people, quote unquote, don't think they should be winning. And that raises speculation. I think that's what's added here. So until there's some kind of smoking gun on it, I think it's unfortunate, but that's kind of what's going on with the territory. I mean, if you're A&M and you're just like, I think you'd rather have the stuff that comes with this than missing out on the players and seeing them go to your arch rival schools or in the SEC somewhere.
Bruce, finally, I'd like to ask you about Alabama and Nick Saban, because, you know, they almost seemed like a team in transition last year as they limped their way into the playoffs as the number one team in the country, ultimately losing to Georgia, which had been number one. But this year, everyone is talking about them in just almost a coronation, especially because of the talent. You know, we all know about Anderson and Bryce Young, and that's just the beginning of it. How do you assess Alabama? We haven't seen them yet. They're still 3 weeks away from a spring game, but you know the talent on that team.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they would be my favorite to win the title. You have the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who's only going to get better with more time in the system. You have the best player in college football last year. That's Will Anderson. You know, like, I'm working on a draft story that's going to run next week where I'm talking to a lot of coaches. And, you know, as great as the talent is at Georgia, you know, the best player in the SEC on defense, as many first-round picks are going to have on that side of the ball, that guy's still going to be in college football. That's the guy in Tuscaloosa. Then you add in, I've had coaches think Jamar Gibbs may win a Heisman. He's that talented, and he comes in. You know, Eli Ricks is a very gifted cornerback who's played a decent amount of football in the SEC. So, you know, you're just adding some really impressive pieces. And, you know, I think, again, this is like Georgia lost a ton of really good players on defense. I know Kirby Smart has recruited really well, and I think they still have some good players there. But I think when you add the nucleus of what they already had back to a couple of these transfers, I mean, you know, like, I'm excited to see how good Alabama can be, because I think it's not like they haven't had great talent before. You can make a case that Will is the best defensive player that Nick Saban has had. And so you start with that, and that's the tone setter. And then you got the other side of the ball where you have the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And he, you know, it's coming off his first season where guys usually get a lot better from year one to year two. I mean, like, look out. I'd be,
Bruce,
you know,
let me go back to what you just said. That was quite a statement. And I know that you've talked to enough people that, and it sounds shocking. It shouldn't be that Will Anderson is that good, but pick up on that for a second, because that's quite an amazing compliment to what Nick Saban has done over his tenure there, to think that Will Anderson could be beyond everyone else.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I mean, you rattle off some of the names. There's been a ton of good DBs. There's been a ton of, you know, really gifted linebackers and guys in the middle of the D-line. nobody's had the production he's had. And remember, like, in the beginning of the year, Christopher Allen, who's a big-time player, he was lost for the year. It's not like, you know, he was – and I'm not saying that there was nobody on that defense, but, like, he was going to get everybody's attention, and they still couldn't deal with it, right? And I just remember talking to a lot of coaches who faced them last year who were just – were awed by him, not just the TFL numbers and the sack numbers, but how nasty he is against the run and different things he does. And again, to me, it'd be interesting if you talk to a lot of people who've come through that program. There's been so much turnover on the defensive staff, but to say, okay, and I don't think Nick Saban would engage this conversation, especially now, but like if you were to get him and say, hey, who do you think your five best defensive players that you've ever coached were in college football, what that list would be like? And granted, he's only been there 2 years, so there's still work to be done and added. But based on the year he had last year, I would put Will Anderson's 2021 up against anybody's. I mean, Quinnen Williams was a dominant player and had a great year. What we've seen from Will Anderson, again, as a second-year sophomore, I mean, he's probably going to be even better this year. So, you know, I think it's a fun topic to have in the off season, and it's, you know, it's one of those things that I think he's going to end up leaving Tuscaloosa as the best one that at least Nick Saban's had. I know we've had, you know, Pro Football Hall of Famers, and, you know, Derek Thomas was, you know, remarkable, and there's a bunch of other great players. But I think for the Saban era, I mean, I would put my chips on the Will Anderson table.
Well, always never disappointing. Bruce Feldman, thank you so very much. It's great to have you on.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Nobody better than Bruce Feldman. We appreciate that. And that's really quite a statement to make when you can say you can make the case that Will Anderson is the best defensive player that Nick Saban has ever coached. that's a stunning statement, but I think it just shows you what Nick Saban has coming back at Alabama and why they will be number one in the country when the polls come out in August. We will take a break. We're only 30 minutes in, already making headlines around college football. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It is great to have all of you with us, and let us get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Joe in Houston, you are on the air. Hello, Joe.
How you doing, Paul? Another nice show.
Thank you.
Paul, I think there's a bias that's going on in especially with ESPN. And I'm just wondering, did you know that there's an SEC team playing in the Final Four of the NIT?
I did know that, yes.
I just wondered why nobody else in the country knows.
Well, I'll be honest about that. It could be that very few people really care about the NIT outside of the teams in there.
I can understand that. That's a good answer. But in spite of it, I've seen a bias.
I've been in this industry a long time and have been accused. I know you're not accusing me of being biased.
No,
I always have a pretty predictable response when someone calls up and accuses a network like this one of being biased. Because to be biased, that means that there has to be at least a number of people in charge of positions that matter to have something against the team. So can you cite me any example of bias against Texas A&M?
Well, I was hoping that you could tell me if I had a chance to talk to what's his name, who was just on there?
Bruce Feldman.
I think the bias is coming from ESPN, quite frankly.
Well, but
not from you, but
no,
from
but
from
I
the
work there,
that
and I realize
you
it's
work
a company
more.
Of how many employees? 5,000 employees. So I would have no earthly idea what goes on in. I mean, I know in the small little, and I mean it's a dot on the globe, the area that I work in. I mean, the people that run the company,
sure,
I'm not even sure know my name or know this show exists. I doubt seriously that in their offices right now in Bristol and New York, this show is on. We're just, we're in the hinterlands as far as they're concerned. But of the people that, do you know anybody up there?
No, I saw.
I don't know anybody either. But what type of bias do you think, why would they be against Texas A&M?
Well, because A&M is the most conservative school in the nation. Okay. And I know you don't want to get into politics, so I won't get into politics.
Well, I'll get into it. Listen, there's nothing I will not get into on this show. So don't.
Paul, I can't make my case. I don't have enough time.
Okay, so let me help
but
you.
I told you.
Can I help you
I
make it?
I told you. You probably don't recall, but I told you a long time ago that you were going to see in the SEC, you were going to see the kind of bias that people, not just Aggies, but everybody saw in the Southwest Conference.
Okay.
And you were going to see that kind of bias take shape. And it's happening now. And the people who don't think about it, the SEC is kind of
removed. Joe, let me stop. Let me ask you, Joe, I don't mean to interrupt, but the most important thing I think you've said here is that because Texas A&M is a conservative school, there is a bias, at least at ESPN, against it. So let's just say for the sake of argument, I agree with you, okay?
Okay.
And I'm well aware of the management of Texas A&M, and I know a lot of people down there, and they are friends of mine, as you may have heard me talk about in the past. I'm a fan of Texas A&M. I'm a fan of the leadership there and some of the people that I've been friends with. So assuming that I told you, okay, I have incontrovertible evidence that you are correct. Now, are we talking about them getting left out of the tournament or not enough promotion of the fact that Texas A&M is in the NIT?
Well, I just see it, little things I see all the time. And it surprises me that the experts, like you, for example, that the experts don't see it as much as I see it.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, all I want is a level playing field. That's all I wanted in the political arena was a level playing field.
Right.
I think people will do the right thing if they have a level playing field. But I think when Notre Dame gets in the playoffs, I don't see a level playing field. I don't see a consistent standard.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm seeing, and I don't want to make a big deal out of it. I just want to make sure somebody else besides me sees it.
Well, you picked a good spot, Joe, to bring it out. I thank you for the call. A&M didn't get in the tournament. They were probably the last team ignored. Had they gotten in, would they have made a run in the tournament? Very possibly. Look at North Carolina. North Carolina in late February was dead. I mean, they were not even in the NCAA tournament. They beat Duke. They had a nice run in Brooklyn. But my argument back to you, and I'm not sitting here as a company man. I'm past that. At this point in my life, I don't have to shield for anybody that I don't care to shield for, okay? If somebody doesn't like me, they can remove me. They can just come pick me up right now and take me out of here. That's how I feel. But I would counter that I need more than what you've offered me. I need more than Texas A&M is a conservative school. I could look at the SEC right now, 14 schools, including Texas A&M, and I could probably give you maybe 12 other schools that would also be considered fairly conservative, some more than others. But is Texas A&M any more conservative than Auburn?
No.
Really? Auburn in southeastern Alabama? More conservative than South Carolina, more conservative than Mississippi State and Ole Miss and LSU and Alabama and Tennessee. Auburn to me is the one I'm going to land on because they were the number two seed in the tournament. Probably a win away from being a number one seed. We can continue this. I just want you to bring more ammo to the party, okay? Thanks for the call. We'll take a break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you here. Dave is in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Well, hi, Paul. Thanks again for having taken my call, and happy Monday to you.
Thank you.
the other day, whenever you had the interview, good interview, by the way, by Booger, he mentioned, you know, the ribs and stuff. And my wife's a vegan, and I was wondering if you were, because I wanted to tell you the results of her being a vegan.
I am not.
Okay.
I'm also not a big meat eater, but you can be both.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've eaten more fried chicken than man's ever seen. But my wife, since she became one, her blood pressure has gone down from very high to just normal. And she does it every day. She never does sway. And I just wanted to tell you, if you weren't, the benefits of it. And
I appreciate
it. Like what I've seen from her.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am a self-admitted peculiar eater. So that's what...
Do they call you Picky Paul?
Yeah, that's what Booger and I were talking about. And it's all because... I think it runs really deep in why I am so weird about eating, but my friends do make fun of me. I will tell you that. So Booger saying that did not come as a big surprise.
Oh, okay. Okay. And do you think with Arkansas basketball team this year, do you think that the momentum will roll over into our college football Razorbacks?
I don't think, Dave, the two have anything to do with one another. I think their coaching does, and I think Arkansas's football coach is quite good, and the staff is excellent. And I have no doubt that they are coming back and will be doing strong. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. AC in New Jersey.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How you guys doing? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Your caller's bracket, it was garbage. I don't know what you're thinking, man.
Garbage? Hold on. Did you say garbage?
Absolutely. Pure garbage. Jim from Tuscaloosa. So be it. I mean, he's going to call in. He's going to brag about himself. Legend, he's drunk, literally. Jeff, I don't know what word he's on. And all of the rest of the idiots, they make me sick. Matter of fact, I'm so glad I wasn't part of that idiot contest. Who needs a contest like that? Might as well put all of them in a missionary, because that's your entertainment, right, Mr. Feinbaum?
Yeah, it's not hard to understand why you weren't part of that, AC. Thanks for the call. Pat is up next in Georgia. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Paul. Snake oil, a cure-all elixir that's good for what ails you, and think of a high-powered hair tonic that's about 100 proof.
Vitalis.
Yeah, Vitalis. Listen, the top of the show nailed it. It is the bluest of the blue bloods. I think it'll be Duke, Kansas, and I think Mike Krzyzewski will win. I hope that's the case, and I think that's the case right now. And I've been thinking about John Wooden compared to Mike Krzyzewski. And I'm thinking about the hare and the tortoise. Wooden did it in 10 or 11 or 12 seasons and as many national championships as that Saban has at Alabama. And then, you know, 48 years. And I think this is Mike Krzyzewski's 13th Final Four.
Correct.
Both of them are all-time best basketball coaches. Would you like to pick one over the other? I would prefer Mike Krzyzewski.
I would pick John Wooden because I just think we were still talking about him, and he did it in a compressed period of time. Now I will say this about Wooden: he did it in an easier format. As you remember, there were only 24 teams at one time. He always played in the West region, where the competition was not nearly as good. I think Krzyzewski has had to overcome a lot more, but I think Wooden really helped change basketball forever. Close call, though. Thanks for the call. We are coming right back.